Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Look at verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Finally, a harvest is gathered. A harvest is gathered. There's fruit. There are results. Lives are changed.
Through daily walking in Christ as sowers of the seed, our lives should reflect the efforts that we've worked the fields as God has instructed. Pastor Troy conveys to us today how our lives through farming and sowing of seed can have a great impact on others that you come in contact with. When you speak to others, do they listen and believe what you're saying to them? Do they have to go to the source of your beliefs, which are in God, before their eyes are opened and their lives changed? Well, let's join Pastor Troy in John chapter 4 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
You know, hard work is good for us. We need to participate in hard work. It's been said, hard work builds character, sets an example, gets results, brings opportunities, and blesses others. And I might add to that, it probably keeps us out of trouble too. Speaking of that, kids can work. I don't know why we think that kids can't work. Like, you've heard, hey, don't make them take out the trash. Don't make them help with the laundry. Don't make them do these things because they're kids. They're kids. Just let them be kids. What does that mean? Let them go continue making messes so I can continue to pick up after them? They can and should learn to participate. They make messes. They should learn to clean. They break things. They should learn to fix. This is a lifestyle. You don't just grow up one day and you're 18 and you go, you know what? I'm going to be responsible. That doesn't happen. Look at our world right now. Has it happened? No. We're worse off today than we've ever been because we've bought into that. This culture, now you walk in restaurants and they're dirty. No one wants to clean the tables. No one wants to do anything. It's like it's beneath them. What were you hired for? I was taught, if you're leaning, you should be cleaning. When I went into a mechanical room, you walk in, they taught me, you should leave that mechanical room, and it's a mechanical room. There's noise and pieces everywhere, but when you go in to fix something, you put it all back and you leave it in better shape than you left it. If you threw out some sand beads, you clean up the sand beads. If whatever you did to mess it up, you make it at least as good, in as good a shape as when you got there. Taught you to work hard and to leave a good impression for the company or for our squadron, I guess, which was in the military. And so we were taught to work hard. Kids can also work hard. You know, I don't have time to make the example, but let me just say, kids can work hard. You know why they don't? I'll tell you why. Because they schedule things like playtime. And work gets in the way of that. I was going to play. What were we going to do? I was going to play. We've got to get this work done. Why can't you help? I was going to play. And you know what? We never grow out of that. It's like playing is our life's ambition. We work hard to get that white collar job so I can be over the workers. What do you want to do? I want to play. I want to work hard so I can play. We want to entertain ourselves. We just want to play. Hey guys, we've been duped. That's not what life's about, is playing. And now they used to say the average age of video gamers, boys primarily, was like 13 and 14. Now it's 40. And I think they're still sitting in the same spot, playing the same games with better graphics, still living at home, not working. It's not good what we've done to ourselves. We're not working hard. And we should take that idea, working hard in the field, working hard in the workplace, and working hard in the kingdom of God, building up His kingdom. That's the place that we ought to work first and hardest, giving God our best, the first fruits, right, of our time, talent, energy, everything that we have. It belongs to the Lord. There was a story. Adrian Rogers told a story about a man who had some sons, and he had them work in the cornfields. They would work in the cornfields because there was a lot to do, a lot of corn too. And so the parents, whose kids were their friends, would go out to the swimming hole and play video games and do all the stuff, go to the mall and all that, and they would always have fun, invite them, say, hey, we got to work, you know, we need to work. I mean, they had their down times too, but they had to focus. And so one of the parents approached the farmer about his sons and scolded him, saying, why do you make those boys work so hard? You know, and his bottom line was, you don't need all that corn. And the wise farmer father replied, sir, I'm not raising corn. I'm raising boys. In other words, I'm teaching them some valuable lessons about priorities and hard work. Lessons that kids today could probably stand to learn. You know, there's times where even though they're little, I could use maybe just a hand to hold something. And you know what? A child does a great job. And they feel a sense of accomplishment. They love it. Now, they don't like being torn away from the video game. They don't like being torn away from all the playtime. But playtime really should be a privilege, not a right. And the one thing that consumes my time, like work is in the way. That's the way we, don't we look at it that way? How many of you love Monday? No. How about Friday? Yeah, love Friday. They got shirts. We got shirts about loving Friday. I saw one that says, Fry-yay. Fry-yay. At first I don't, what is that? Oh, I see. Yay, it's Friday. Fry-yay. But not many have shirts about being excited about Monday. We've got it wrong. We become lazy. I hate to bring that to you this morning. I didn't come to church for this, Pastor. Well, I told you, Jesus puts his finger on the hard things. So, God gave work. You know, he even gave work in the garden. Don't say it was after the fall. It was before the fall. God gave work in the garden. Now that we're kind of tending that little piece of land there, one thing I know about a garden, and it could be the perfect garden with the perfect climate, but stuff grows, and it continues to grow, and it will take over if you don't tend to it. And so Adam had work to do before the fall. It gives man a sense of accomplishment and purpose and value in life. Jesus left us work, left it to his disciples when he ascended into heaven. That's why you didn't go to be with Jesus right away when you gave your life to him. He has work for you here. And just before Jesus ascended, he said to his disciples, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hey, do this. I know it sounds like a difficult task, but hey, I'm with you. He says, lo, I'm with you, even to the end of the age. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 sends us a little reminder. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, hint, hint, go out there and harvest the fields, man. Go work, go labor in the fields. Go spread the gospel, go cast the seed, work in my house. Is that great theological work, Snow White once said, "Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go." We need to work. The family business is spiritual farming, and we've got a job, each one of us. And guess what? We're never off. Look at verse 35. "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that which for you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors." He's saying, you guys know how this works. You plant, and then you kind of wait and say, hey, it's going to be a few months before the harvest. And maybe they do a few things in between. He says, look, I'm telling you, work has been done, sending the prophets and all of this, and work is being done, and you're not doing all of the work, but sometimes you're planting seeds, and sometimes you're sowing, and sometimes you're reaping. You may lead someone to Christ right there. You didn't even talk to them before, but they're ready. And so get busy, because there's a lot of work to be done, and it's now. Today, not next month, not 4 months from now, it's today. And you may have just cast seed and you go, oh, in a few months, this person will probably need the Lord. Well, okay, let them germinate. You know, let them go. But there's more work here. There's work here. There's work at that place that you were at. There's work at the grocery store where you were at. Hey, there's work there. There's work in your church. There's work everywhere. Serve the Lord. Scatter the seed. And then he explains, sometimes you'll sow, sometimes you'll reap, and it's all going on all the time. Look at verse 39. "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all that I ever did.' So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'"
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. Finally, a harvest is gathered. A harvest is gathered. There's fruit. There are results. Lives are changed. We share. And it's like this woman, you know, she shared and some believed, but they come back and more believe because they have their own personal encounter. And then they even tell her, what you said is true. I had my own experience, because God is faithful to meet those who are really seeking, who really, really want to know what's true. Notice how it worked. Many believed because of the testimony of the woman, but more believed because they had their own personal encounter. See, personal testimonies and me standing up here and teaching and using the gift and role that God has called me to, these things are fine. Booklets, pamphlets, videos, all of these things can be helpful. But real change comes when a person experiences the Lord themselves. Their own personal encounter with the Lord. It confirms everything. See, that's the difference. You can never deny your own personal encounter with him. You can deny that you came forward at an altar call, what I said was very convincing and emotionally moving and all of that, and then later in life go, you know, I don't know that that was real. You can do that, and maybe it wasn't real. because you were stirred emotionally. You just kind of felt moved in the moment. But you can have that happen at a concert somewhere with music. But what you can never deny is an encounter with God that you had personally. I can't do that for you. No one can. You have to have your own encounter with the Lord. You have to do your own business with Him. This is between you and Him. Not about an emotional service, not about feeling guilted or compelled or inspired to, I'm going to do this Christian thing. No, no. You got to sit there with the Lord. Let Him put His finger on those things, because no one comes but through repentance. There's repentance. You know, He puts His finger on certain things, and then you can't deny there's confession, a sense of owning up to things. You know, the idea of working in the harvest is one of the reasons I'm for altar calls. Some say we shouldn't have altar calls. You know, God knows who are His and you don't need to do altar calls, and that's true. Some people aren't saved in altar calls. I was. I had no idea that I needed to respond. I knew God was there. I talked to Him. I thanked Him for things. I was a kid growing up, and I would cry with my dog and God. And I knew He was there. No one could ever convince me that He wasn't. But I also came to the point of being faced with an altar call. Are you going to follow Him? Are you going to put your faith in Him? Like, what? I already believe in Him. Isn't that enough? Didn't the Bible say that? But James said that even the demons believe. Even the demons believe. And a faith that doesn't change somebody, he says, is that a saving faith? And his answer is no. See, when we really do let go, say, God, I want You to be Lord. I'm scared to let go of all of this. I'm scared to let go of control. But please help me to do this. When someone comes to that place, God takes them seriously. God's the one that brought him to that place. And he begins a work he's faithful to complete. That's why I'm skeptical sometimes when some people say that they're born again, saved, had some experience or whatever, and there's no change in their life. There's no change. There's no hope. There's no nothing. I mean, there's the talk, but anyone can talk. That's called fake news, right? But there's no walk. And I'm for altar calls and public altar calls because that's what ministered to me and brought me forward and got my life been different. My life's been different since that point. Individuals had to make public decisions to get baptized with John the Baptist and with Jesus' disciples. They made a public decision to come forward and to do that. So I'm all for a public profession of faith. Just not one that's void of the preaching of repentance. It can't be one where there's promises of grandeur in heaven and all you got to do, you believe in Him, you believe He'll give you heaven, you believe He'll bless you, you believe He'll turn to that. Yeah, I believe all that. All right, then you're saved, you're sanctified, you're good to go. Go. I don't know about that. But if someone does believe, I can make a guarantee, if you do believe in Him, your life will change. If you put your faith in Him, if you trust in Him with your life, you'll never be the same. Doesn't mean you won't fall. Doesn't mean you won't look the same sometimes. You will never be the same. And you will never walk away from this because you can never deny a true encounter with God. You can deny an emotional experience and attribute it to something else, but you can never deny a personal encounter with Jesus. Never. That's why martyrs die rather than confess something else. I'm sure they would want to. I feel like, I don't know if I could handle it. But in the moment, can I really deny what's that true and that deep? So, Dwight Moody was a great teacher and evangelist who believed strongly in giving altar calls. He made evangelism his business. So much so that he didn't just do it from the pulpit, but individually as well. He thought, this is my job. I'm a spiritual farmer. I'm an evangelist. This is what I do. It's my business in the pulpit and outside as well. And so as he was walking home one day, In the evening, actually, he sees a man leaning up against a light post, seemed inebriated. And so he goes up to the man and says, "Sir, are you a Christian?" The guy got into a fighting stance and said, "It's none of your business what I believe." And Moody said to him, "Sir, I don't mean to offend, but actually, it is my business. This is what I do." And it opened up the door of conversation for this man. See, we need to be scattering seed. Why do you work where you work? Is it just for the money? Just for the pay? Just because I like to? Let's filter it through why God allows you to work where you work. What is God's intention for you there? Why are we here at this church? Just to attend? Just because the pastor's shorter than you and you feel very adequate because of that? Why? Why are you here? If God has called you here, what does he want you to do here? See, we're all to work, to be hard workers in the kingdom of God. As believers, you and I are called to work in the field, no one higher than anyone else, just different. The fields are white with harvest, as Jesus says, speaking of the way that the fields look when they're ready to be harvested. They go from green to yellow to this white, pale color. It means, man, it's ready, it's time. He says, it's time, now's the time. See, the problem is not that there's not enough work or that the harvest isn't ready. The problem is always that there aren't enough people willing to work. That's always the problem. Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. Jesus speaking, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Pray for workers, not loafers. Loaves, not loafers. I don't know why you're here today. I don't know how you got here, if you were drug here, you wanted to be here, or why you're here for this particular message. It could be that the seeds of gospel are falling upon your heart and taking root for the very first time. It could be that you're just being watered here today. You needed water. You were dry in a dry and weary land where it seemed like there was no water, but you're being watered and refreshed, reminded, I have purpose. God has use for me. My life matters. Maybe the Lord is stirring in your heart now the need to get to work. Sowing, watering, harvesting, that you have a job. You know, one conversation, one person, you can make a huge difference in the work that is accomplished in the field. You. Maybe you're ready to be harvested today. Maybe the Lord's been chasing you around. You know it's true. And all he's looking for is that time of you stopping, fessing up, owning up to what he's been pointing out in your life, and finally letting go. You'll never be the same if you finally stop and turn your face toward his and genuinely, in repentance, let him be Lord of your life. He's Lord anyway. One day we'll all kneel and bow before him. You can do it as Lord and Savior or as your judge. He does everything, all the work, paid the price, died on the cross to make the way. But the one thing you still have is a choice. What will you do with that today?
Thanks for joining us today on Building on the Solid Rock. We hope you've learned some new things today as Pastor Troy taught through the Gospel of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We also have an archive of previous messages available to you free of charge, ready to be listened to online or even downloaded and shared with friends and family. We're so blessed to be a part of your life in this way, and we'd love to hear how you've been impacted by Building on the Solid Rock. Feel free to send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love being able to connect with our listeners in this way, and your feedback helps us continue to build this ministry. Next time, Pastor Troy will share more from the Gospel of John and
express additional examples of how Jesus proved he was unlike any other man that has ever lived. Join us then, right here, on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in.